morning's message is trying to dress yourself. And reading scripture from Genesis 22 and 8, where Abraham said, "My God, my son God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. Abraham was told to go out and go to a place and make a sacrifice. And Isaac, being familiar with sacrifices and burnt offerings, he wondered, where was the lamb? Where was the sacrifice? And, you know, we can't provide a sacrifice for God. We can't provide what's right for God, and we can't provide a covering for ourselves. You know, God wouldn't allow David to build the temple. And when Solomon was building the temple, he told him, no man put a hammer or anything to the stone, that they would bring those stones together and place them there uncut, but God would give them the wisdom to put that temple together. Same thing with us this morning. God is building us a holy temple in the Lord. He's building us as a dwelling place. We've all sinned against God as Adam did, and we all are in Adam, and that's naked, born without a covering. And Jesus Christ himself is our covering. God has made him the Lamb of God, slain from the foundations of the world. Man's been trying to provide a covering for himself all of this time. Adam tried to cover himself with fig leaves, which was an inappropriate covering. It was a covering that was inappropriate, and that it only did what Adam thought was hidden. But to God, we're all naked before his eyes, and he can only make appropriate covering for us. And knowing that they were born naked in the physical, they were a spiritual covering. Satan was the anointed cherub that covered. And notice that Satan did the same thing to mankind that he did himself. He uncovered himself. If you read in Ezekiel and Isaiah, Satan was the anointed cherub that covered. Man has no covering now because of listening at Satan. And if we continue to listen at Satan and continue to live as children of Satan, the seed of the devil, and be not converted, we'll have no covering. We have nothing to come before God with. This morning's message comes from Matthew. I told you the 22nd chapter of Matthew, the 1st through the 15th verse. And there's a parallel, a lesson in the book of Luke, the 14th chapter, that a lot of this is left out, but a little portion is there. But it was added and elaborated on in Matthew, because Matthew was writing from a different perspective. The book of 22nd chapter, Matthew reads, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings, and kill all things, and are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he had sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their cities. Then said he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but a few are chosen. But a few are chosen. As I tried to introduce this morning, I may have done a poor job of it. But as God calls us to the marriage feast of the Lamb, as God calls mankind, there's a general calling. So it's open to all. But first of all, God had appealed to his people. He had appealed to the Jewish people. He had appealed to his own, and they rejected or made light of it. And in that general call, God reacted against them. But then he sent out his servants to gather other people. When it says into the highways and byways, that was the Gentile people. That was another general call. Because God, as Deacon Hubbard read in the opening verses of chapter 55 of Isaiah, that the feast was going to be full. It says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and return not hither, but watered the earth and making it bring forth and bud, there it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and shall prosper in the thing wheresoein I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Satan couldn't prevent God's purpose of populating the earth with a people that was obedient unto God, a children of God in a paradise, a children of God that was going to be clothed in his righteousness, a people that God was going to speak, and they were going to honor his word and take heed unto his word. But just as is today, Satan came along. A lot of times your friend, relatives, and people come along and tell you you're all right, and you start thinking you're all right. You're not all right. You're like the Laodicean. You're poor, wretched, and naked, and had need that you had eyesight and had your ears open. In the first point here, we want to look at that it is finished, that it had been prepared. The preparation has gone forth. God had prepared a lamb. He had gotten the earth ready. And the word being preached, the gospel is going out. And it says in Luke 14, 16, and 17, Jesus replied with a story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations, and when the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. In verse 4 of chapter 22 of Matthew, it says, again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. My son is getting married. This is the wedding supper of the Lamb. It's a general call where he sends out his prophets, his messages and things to the people that he had reckoned to come to the ball, to come to the marriage feast. He had bidden them to come. Everything is set before you. The table is set. Come in and eat. Be festive and enjoy yourselves. That's a lot of preparation had went into God preparing Jesus Christ to come down here and make the kingdom ready for us. Jesus Christ suffered and died. He gave himself. And the animal that was slaughtered was he himself. He was that lamb that was that suffered, that was in place of what we should have been. We should have been that sacrifice. But we wasn't a perfect sacrifice. We couldn't provide righteousness for everyone else. So in this sacrifice, when Christ laid down his life, he did something. He was a preparatory thing for us. And if we was to enjoy this feast, because you remember when he spread his hands out on the cross, he said, it is finished. All we would have to do is walk therein, come unto God and receive this through the Spirit, and he would empower us to enjoy all God has for us. all of the blessings of the new covenant.
Yes.
All those promises was there for the taking. It was a festival. The kingdom of God was near us. It was right here among us. The pardon of sin with his death, with that blood that was shed for us, with his body that was broken. That's why we partake of communion two Sabbaths from now. This is not the first one. Next week would be the first one following the sacrament. So don't get that confused since the month comes in on a Sunday. That's not the first Sabbath, okay? So the pardon of sin and the favor of God, the peace of conscience, where we would have a conscience free from guilt of sin, the promises of the gospel, in other words, the good news that all our sins have been forgiven and that he places us in a state of justification, where we're justified before God. See, we can eat and partake of the feast of God. We can partake of the word of God with joy in a festive occasion. It's nothing for us to do. It's nothing. God had equipped and he had clothed us. He had made the way and he was going to provide the garment. He was going to provide the covering. That's what Jesus Christ did. He's our covering. His blood atoned for our sins. That's the covering that we have to be abundant. The comforts of the Spirit through his death. And that's why he had to die. He said, if I'd not go away, the comforter wouldn't come. A lot of us wonder, was there any other way? He says, no, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So we have to come by through this way. This is the only way. So he had to die for man. And unless we believe that he died for our sins, unless he died, we believe that he died for our righteousness, that we may have eternal life, we have no covering. We have no way into God. There's no way to God. The veil was torn through his flesh. That's how we can boldly approach God at the throne of grace, is through that flesh of the veil of Jesus Christ, his body being broken for us. We can approach the throne of God boldly now, adopted into the family of Christ. Into the family of God. Now we can cry, Abba Father. It's all thanks to Jesus Christ. Everything has to be in Christ and through Christ. He's our covering. We remember Jesus making wine for a wedding feast he had attended. So a wedding wasn't a dull time. A wedding was a time when people would get together and be merry. He made wine during that occasion that the guests would be made merry. They said that wine was better than any wine that they was had. Had before. So the last, that which Christ provides, that blood, that death, all that is a covering for us. That puts us back in right standing for God. So as the second point, the invitations were sent out. It was finished in the book of Isaiah. That's why I was wondering. I was wondering, had Deacon got a glimpse of my notes this morning? Because in that invitation, when God calls man to himself, I had that as a conclusion, but since Deacon had went to that verse, that chapter, the 55th chapter of Isaiah, listen at that call that Christ has. And this is, what can I say? It's not a statement, but the church often makes this statement. No one, we've not asked you to pay the bills here. We hadn't asked you to do anything. We might have given you the good news and told you the requirements and obligation of following for God. But God, those messengers that he sent out with that invitation, calling all people to God, calling them into the church. Listen what Isaiah says. They say, he says, ho, everyone without money, he that is athirst, let him come and drink. Well, I can get the version I had it in. Anyone thirsty, come and drink, even if you have no money. So that's why I got, you know, upset when people tell people, well, the church, you got to pay money, you got to pay tithes, you got to do this. No, don't listen to everybody. That's Satan put things in your mind. If you have to do anything for church, you start learning God provides you with the money. Whatever you need, God provides that. And you're not providing anything. You're just giving God back what's his. If you have $1,000, you realize in learning from God that, you know, God gave me this, made me a steward of this, and I'm going to give him the first fruits, the first returns of this. I'll give him a tenth. That's what Abraham said. I'll give him a tithe. When you start learning that God is your covering and you're looking to Jesus, everything you get is filtered through, what can I do to please God? How can I repay this debt? How can I remain in the righteousness of God? See, that's why he said the Spirit's going to lead you and guide you in all truth. Don't do something in here that's going to make you feel bad, you don't want to do, and you grudgingly give or grudgingly do something for the church. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves those that want to give to God, that looking unto God say, I can't do enough for you because of what you've done for me. What Jesus has done for me, I'll never be able to approach this. I just want to return something to show you I'm thankful. See, a lot of people are ungrateful and unthankful, and God's done all for them and doing all and will do all, and they still begrudge doing anything for God. They feel it's all theirs. This is mine, mine, mine. And God just wants what's mine, not realizing the earth and the fullness thereof belongs to the Lord. We don't have anything. He says, come take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised David. That's a lot promised by God, isn't it?
Yes.
We can enjoy that covenant. He says, all that are thirst, come unto me and drink. Out of your belly will flow living water. If you would drink this water, if you would come and hear this gospel, if you would consume this word and look under this word, you'll realize man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Those servants kept preaching and sending out those invitations. Jesus spoke to them and told them and that it is prepared, but you know, they mistreated those servants. Everybody went about their normal everyday life. They're going about their normal everyday life today, tomorrow. Those are the two basic worship days in the Christian community, Saturdays and Sundays. They are invited. Says, only those that are hearing the word knows that God says, don't forsake the assembling together of yourselves. But he said, go bring them all in. Those who hadn't even heard that, that don't know that, bring in the lame, the crippled, and the halt, the Gentile, anybody, and let them hear the word of God. See, because without hearing, you can't develop faith. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. So invite them all in. Wherever you at, tell them of the word of God. But those things were not sinful in themselves. Each man went about doing those things that he normally do. In other words, the word of God was contemptible with them because, see, now they had heard the word. That's why I say these was God's people. That's why the church is full of people like that today. They hear God's word, but it's just like rain falling on hard ground that it hadn't rained on in weeks or months or whatever. It just rolled off. It doesn't sink in. The word of God does them no good. But God says his words will accomplish that which he had purposed it to accomplish. It's not the returning to him void. So he knew some was going to reject that word. And see, those who he had prepared it for, those who had heard the word, were rejecting the word. They wasn't paying attention to come unto Jesus Christ. They were clothed in their own righteousness. They had been taught by other religious people and other people that Jesus Christ had died for us all. That Jesus Christ had died for us all in that, you know, we go on Easter or Christmas or whatever and we give when we want to give. We do what we want to do. Live the way we want to live. We pretty good people. See, you fast in your own covering. You righteous in yourself. You're not clothed by the word of God. You're not clothed by Christ. You hewing out your own garments. You putting on your own covering. You think you're just good enough. You hadn't killed anybody. You hadn't did this. You hadn't did nothing wrong. You think you're all right before God. So, the indifference that is showed, because God had called them off. The third point is man's indifference and rebellion. Man is responsible for his indifference. It says, verse 5, they paid no attention. They disregarded the invitation, treating it with contempt. Each one went on his own way. Listen to what they said. Where is that verse at? Verse 4 and 5. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them. So some, there's nothing wrong with going to work. That's a thing that you need for everyday life. But if your thought or your mind is on working more than it is on the word of God, there's nothing wrong with television. But if it's on television more than the word of God, you have a problem. If it's on business and other things more than the word of God, that you can't hear God first. See, after following God and putting on his righteousness in the spirit, guiding and leading us into all truth, you find out that Jesus Christ should have the preeminence in our life. Meaning that he should come first. That before we do anything in the morning, we should thank him for waking us up. We should talk to him and pray to him and ask him to lead us through the day. We should meditate on his word day and night. But if you're thinking about making a living, not realizing without him, you can't make a living. You can't make a step. He said, well, without me, you can do nothing. If you're thinking about the things of this world and taking the word of God lightly, well, I can just wait and go on Good Friday. I can wait and go on Easter or Christmas or something like that. I'm thinking about God. God don't require all that those preachers are telling us about. God, that's man saying that. See, but man is a messenger of God. God has sent these people to tell them, come on in. See, man is so rebellious that it has to be his way and he don't follow no rules and regulations. He makes his own rules and regulations. They were rebellious. It says the rest of them, they seized his servants and mistreated them. Verse 6. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. How many of the prophets did they kill? How many preachers do this people disrespect? They don't have respect for God's preachers and teachers nowadays, because everything else has become about them. They're desensitized to the fear of God. See, those the word is having effect on begin to fear God and become a doer of God's word. So what are they doing? They're putting on Christ. See, that's the only way to be covered. The Pharisees wasn't covered. They had the word of God and they knew the word of God, but they didn't have hearts, they didn't have spirits, and they didn't have a love of the truth. That's why when the Bible says the love of many shall wax cold, these are people like the Judeo-Christians of America that are always spouting off of what the Bible says in Christianity or whatever, and some of the most cold-hearted, rootless, hypocritical people there is. It is. If you want to get cold-hearted, you get religion without God. To have just a form of religion without the power of the Spirit who hadn't been born again. You can quote scriptures and you can do all these things, and one day you'll come and ask Jesus, didn't we do all this in your name? He's going to say, I never knew you. Yep. See, they know God through the intellect and you can't tell them anything. They're so dense that they don't fear anything. They don't even fear God. Self-righteous. That's what they are. Self-righteous. God has to tell his preachers about these things. He told Ezekiel about that. Remember that verse I was telling you, Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter? Ezekiel was preaching, and this is what God says. He says, but as for you, son of man, your people who talk about you, by the walls and in the doorways of the houses, saying one to another, everyone to his brothers, come now and hear what the message is that comes from the Lord. Let us go to church. Oh, we love church. Let's look at church on television. Let's hear what the preacher's saying. We love to hear that. Come now. They come to you as people, and they sit before you as my people. See, that's why God says everybody was invited to the wedding. Everybody comes in church, but everybody in church is not robed in the righteousness of Christ. Everybody that's hearing the word of God won't be saved. And he has to start this clearing of them in the church, because that's the worst of all. If you can get the church clear of the hypocrites, then you can get more people in. That's why it says the children of the kingdom shall be cast out. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob shall sit down, but the children, in other words, those that's in the church, the religious people that say that they know Christ, will be cast out, and publicans and harlots will come in before they do, because they're hard-hearted. Their religion is nil. They don't have of the Spirit. They come to you as my people, and they sit before you as my people. They hear your words, but they do not what? Practice them. They're not doers of it. For with their mouth they express loving devotion, but their heart goes after their own unlawful gain. Behold, you are to them like a love song by one who has a pleasant voice and plays as well on a string instrument, merely to entertain them. That's all church is entertainment. They'll come in, they'll take communion with you, they'll come in and say all kinds of good things about God. They'll tell people about God, but their hearts are not in it. God doesn't know them. They hadn't been converted. They don't have a garment on. They're naked and poor and wretched and don't even know it. They're in their own righteousness. He says, for they hear your words but don't practice them. So when it comes to pass, as it most certainly will, they will know without any doubt that a prophet has been among them. But it's going to be too late at that time. It's going to be too late. Those children, they'll be cast out. There'll be judgment on all those that don't have on the garment of righteousness. Now, where those friends and relatives and people who told you about God and all these things about God is, you go look for a true prophet in those days, and it's not going to be able to find. The prudent and the wise are not going to be able to, are not going to be delivering that word. It's going to be a famine of hearing the word of God, because you'll turn and trounce it underfoot if you heard it. You've made light of it all that time. See, when you reject God, the rejection of God, it brings about God rejecting his people. See, that's when Jesus started to speak to them in parables, was when they was making light and rejected what he was saying. That's when he started preaching and teaching where they couldn't understand, where they didn't understand. You see, the gospel also condemns you. The word is made to drive you or draw you. And if you don't have a heart for God, and you take and make light of God's word and know what to do and don't do it, God will fix you in such a shape you be going backwards and don't know you're going backwards. He turns you over to a reprobate mind. It is impossible to get right there. Judgment comes on those that are not in Christ. They're not covered with Christ. Look, verse 13 says, then the king said to his attendants as he came into this affair. If you would go down to in there, you'll see where this man. Let's start at verse 12. And he said unto him, friend, how did thou come in here without the wedding clothes that were provided for you? And the man was speechless and without excuse. My son died for you. He gave you a covering. Now you're not in Christ. How you got into the church? See, that's what the church is for, to condemn sin in the flood. Without listening at the fivefold ministry, which it edifies and makes you a church without a spot or blemish. Without your suffering for the righteousness of Christ, without your going through these things and being taught the word of God,
when the king came in, now notice this man was inside this feast. And nobody else realized that he was naked and that he didn't have on a garment. In other words, he probably had on fine attirement and array. See, but spiritually, you have to be able to spiritually discern and see these things. See, Adam didn't know he was naked until he ate of the forbidden fruit. See, you're naked and don't even realize this. Adam was dragging around a dead body for many a year before he actually died spiritually. He was dragging around a spiritual corpse. And a lot of us are dragging around a spiritual corpse, and we're dead in our sins and trespasses and hadn't been woken by the Spirit of God because of our self-righteousness. Because we're not children of God. When he quickens us and makes us alive, we start killing that old man even more. We start pulling off these things. This guy hadn't pulled off anything. The king was able to spot him. He came in, he says, "Whence comest thou, friend? How you got in here?" And the word friend, that doesn't mean a close companion or actual friend. That was a state of familiarity, but it was addressing him in a way as you wouldn't want to create a... Say, "Look, come here, friend." You remember he told Jesus, when Jesus, Judas came to Jesus, he said, "Whence comest thou, friend?" In other words, God hadn't sent you here. You came of yourself. Some people come into the church, they hear the general calling, but it's not an effectual call. That's why Jesus said, "Be many a call, but only a few chosen." You came of your own volition. You are a false professor. There'll be a lot of people that they say they know God. There'll be a lot of people in the church that think they know God, but they of themselves, their God is their belly. They're not under the coverage of Jesus Christ. And this guy was in his self-righteousness. He wasn't robed in the clothing of Jesus Christ. See, because if he was in Christ, he would be in his likeness, in his image. And that's how we distinguish those in the church. That's how we distinguish those in the world that are not of Christ. We can tell those that are of Christ for their love for one another, for the love of their enemy, for their actions and works. We can see these things. God has given us light. He's enabled us to see because we're robed in his righteousness. He can't deceive. The elect can't be deceived. So we are able to not be fooled. Your brother can't fool you. Your sister can't fool you. Your mother can't fool you. Your wife. That's why he says you will hate your mother, father, sister, brother, even your own self. Don't you hate yourself a lot of times? You remember I told you I almost told a story this week. I almost lied and I said, "Well, no, let me tell the truth here." See, you got to see yourself for what you are, your self-centeredness, your covetousness, your greed. You have to see that in your family. When they came to Jesus and says, "Your mother, father, sister, brother," out there, he says, "Who's my mother, father, sister, brother, but those that do the will of God?" Anything other than that is an enemy unto you. Don't embrace that which is wrong just because they're physically kin to you. They're alienated from you. And that's why you need the Word of God. That's why you need a covering. That's why you need his righteousness to teach you how to treat these people and bring them to God. Because in your own righteousness, all you'll be doing is quoting scriptures and saying things. And it'll be like, I was telling a sister the other night in Bible study when they was asking me about the new clothing and the new wineskins. It takes time to learn these things. It takes walking in Christ. To know that Jesus Christ is going to do it and he's going to show you how to do it, you have to be dependent upon him. You can't learn this overnight. The things y'all have learned in here over the years, did it come overnight or have you been working hard for it? So you will be as the five wise virgin tell the five foolish virgin. People will come into church here, your relatives and people you know and other people go come in and teach me this and tell me this. You go to those that buy and sell. All these years I've been trying to tell you this. I don't have time to waste on that. You go to somebody that you've been looking toward for that. I'm marching on in Jesus Christ. The five wise didn't get tied up with the five foolish because you had been warned. This man had been warned. How did he get in there?
He was self-centered because he knew the tradition in those days that if you went to a king's feast or whatever, the king was going to provide the garments. All of them coming in, the king provided the garments for them. There was somebody at the door. There was somebody providing the right attire so you would look identical. You would look like everybody in there. And that's what God did. He provided his son that we all will look just like Jesus. God knows how his son looks. And if you don't look like Jesus, you picked out the bunch and you're going to be just like this guy, speechless. He didn't know what to say. He didn't have anything to say because you had been warned. Notice when God comes in the Garden of Eden. Adam lied and tried to blame it on the woman. Eve lied and tried to blame it on the serpent. Did the serpent say anything?
No.
He was speechless. He didn't say anything. Because one thing the devil knows, you can't lie to God. Y'all don't realize that yet. See, we still lie to God, make excuses and everything. You can't lie to God. You're going to be speechless on that day. You stand there with your mouth hanging open. Ain't no excuse. You've been warned. He'll tell you he could take you back. Didn't he tell you? Didn't he warn you what I said and what I meant? You remember Jesus? And Jesus talks so much on severity. See, the people preach a nice, clean Jesus, and they picture the God of the Old Testament as a horrible, harsh God. But Jesus spoke more of divine severity than any other prophets did. It was Jesus, he said, how did you get in here without a garment? Bind him hand and foot, cast him in the outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus made that statement. Jesus says in the book of Matthew 5th chapter and 20 verse, he says, for I say unto you, unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now you had to do some doing to be more righteous than the Pharisees. See, but what they were doing, they had their own righteousness. They had their own righteousness. It wasn't the righteousness of Christ. It wasn't one provided for by him. And that's why I say, God had provided a way for us, and his son says, I'm the way, I'm the truth and the light. But you listen to that other people, oh, it's other ways to get to God. You don't just have to listen to this, or you just don't have to go to church. You don't have to take communion. He said, unless you eat of my broken body and drink of my blood, you shall have no life. You have no part with me. But see, we casting God's word aside. We making light of it. When people come up to me and pray for me and this and that, well, why your pastor can't pray? Why are the elders of your church not praying for you? I don't attend the church or whatever. Well, how do you know prayer go work? If you don't go to church, how do you think somebody can pray for you? If you know enough that you need prayer, you should know enough the God that says you need prayer says forsake not to assemble together yourself. It's time that Jesus told Jeremiah, don't pray for these people. Of all your time, all your life, you've been living, you knew what God's word said. Now you're about to die. Your health's so bad that you can't hardly move. You want me to waste my time with you when you get well? What you going to do? You can go serve God. You will go give him the little money you have then. He don't need that. He needed you when you was in full health and strength for you to do and follow his word and evangelize the world then. But now you know all what God says. You want to get somebody to pray for you. He said, don't pray for these people, because now if they knew it was right, they knew prayer was right then, they knew he said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. If you knew all that, why you wasn't doing it? You had made light of, you knew what my word said. And that's what he told the man with the talent. He says, if you knew I was such a harsh man that would require this, why didn't you put my money in the bank? Why didn't you, so I could have got usury on my money? I didn't come down here to walk the dusty roads of man for man to beat me with whips and hang me on a cross. I didn't say this and do all these things for you to take that lightly and say you can live any kind of way you live and still enjoy the kingdom just like these are others. He says, who are these that are under the soles of the altar? He says, these are they who have had their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. These are the ones who stood by the church in the heat of the day. In other words, it was hard on them to pay their bills too, but they still did what their obligation to God was. They still did what the church say do. They was the ones that wasn't happy all the time. They didn't want to just love those enemies, but they did what I told them to do. They loved their enemy and they prayed for them. You thought that they was fools. You made light of them. You used them. You used scripture to try to get to them and say, well, if you're a Christian, you'll do this and do that. And they did all these. When you was hungry, they fed you. A lot of people go to these church lines. The line was almost in the road down there at the church on North Street the other day. They was giving away free food during Christmas time and Easter time. You can go there and get those free baskets. You know where the free goods at. But where are you the rest of the days when those people that paid for that stuff, they're laboring in Jesus Christ doing what I say do, but you off living your life merrily then. You don't seek after me until I feed you. Until the church is feeding you, until the church paying your bills or something, that's when you come to me. God's not going to be beloved. He's going to say, where your robe at? I provided it for you. That's why I came and died. Well, I must didn't die for you if you don't have a robe, because none that I died for will be lost. The devil's not going to be able to pluck them out of my hand. So if you're not doing that, within that, he's going to say, cast him in the outer darkness. In Matthew, he said in the 7th chapter, he says, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall be saved. They shall not go in the kingdom of heaven. They will say, many will say to me in that day, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name? Didn't I go to church and I preached and I taught people your word? Didn't I feed people in the food line? Didn't I cast out devils? And didn't I do many wonderful works in your name? You know, a work can't save you. You seen everybody else doing it. You want a reputation. You wanted all these things. Well, you know what he's going to say? Then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity. Because you don't have a covering on. You're not robed in the blood of the Lamb. You're not covered. I have provided a proper covering that would cover you in every area. Now you naked and don't realize you're naked. You poor wretched and naked and have need of eyesight so that you can see. That preacher that was supposed to be opening your eyes, where is he now? That preacher was supposed to be giving you hearing, where is he now? But the preacher that you below, the one who had the word and made ends meet, the one that was improperly dressed, as you say, who didn't have fine clothes on. He didn't drive the luxury cars and have supersonic jets, but he was telling you what thus saith the Lord. But you say, we ain't got to hear him. We don't want to listen to him. He's just going to make us mad. He's going to tell us what we ain't doing. He was telling you the truth, just like I came and told you the truth, and you hung me on a cross. See, now you're without a covering. See, that little Jesus that everybody says, oh, he just going to let everybody go. That's the one that says, you must be born again. That's how you conclude that. He says, you must needs be born again. You cannot enter in the kingdom of heaven if you're not born again. You have to be covered by the blood. That's the one in Revelation. You want the New Testament, he says. The 22nd chapter, he says, he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the book. Don't do like you did in Daniel. Don't seal this up. But the time is here now. It's the wedding feast. It's time to go in. He that is unjust, let him remain unjust. He that is filthy, let him remain filthy. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. I'm going to pay each man according to his word. You see, because God's word will wash you, it'll sanctify you, it'll cleanse you, it'll make you without spot or wrinkle. If you had been taking heed to that word, I wouldn't have seen these spots and wrinkles. I wouldn't have seen that your uniform was dirty. Your clothes have been soiled. See, we have to keep from being contaminated by this world. We can't give up. We're going to have to keep pressing on. God's people keep pressing on. And we know that he clothes us. You said, told me about the law. And you said that law had been taken away. And that all that had been moved. But I say through faith, I help establish the law. I serve the God that was here from eternity. You don't know Jesus. You thought he just came as a baby in a manger. That was the son that was given. That same Jesus that you say was a baby in a manger. In Isaiah, he told the prophet Isaiah, "For he dressed me with clothing of salvation, and he draped me in the robe of his righteousness, like a bridegroom dressed for a wedding, and with a bride with all kinds of jewels, he had decked me out. He had covered me." See, that same one that seen the Gentiles in the Old Testament says, that's the bride of Christ. Bring them on in here. I'll dress them up. See, Christ puts a new robe on us. Christ does everything for us. Without him, I couldn't do anything. See, but I know that I would have to take heed to his laws. He said, he that walketh in my commandments and statutes, he shall ask anything and it won't be denied him. Ask the Father anything in my name. You see, that's how our prayers get answered. That's how you don't have to plead with man to pray for you. You can boldly go before the throne of grace and petition the Father in Jesus' name yourself. Why is it that you can't go to God and pray? Are you afraid that you're not right? You don't know that he's an advocate with the Father for us. It says if any man sin, if I do have sin, I know I got an advocate with the Father, one that can plead to the Father and says, Father, I died for this one here. He's covered by the blood. That he's righteous in me. His sin's been washed by my blood. See, we don't realize those things. We in our own righteousness, now if we fail the law in any wise at any spot, we're guilty of the whole law. But we know that Jesus says that he's a perpetuation. Yes. It was him that did this. That's why we look to Jesus in everything. That's why we go about trying to please Jesus. He is our righteousness. We don't have our own covering. See, a lot of people think 4,000 or 5,000 suits cover them. No, you're naked without the word of God. You, without the word of God, unless the word is dwelling in you and you in the word, unless you've put on Christ, you're naked. God had provided a covering from you from the foundations of the world. John the Baptist says, look, this is behold the Lamb of God from the foundations of the world who taken away your sin. That's your righteousness. Christ, he's our righteousness. If we remain in Christ, we don't have to worry about someone having us speechless. Because when we hear from Christ, when we're covered in his righteousness, you can't shut us up. We're going to tell everybody what Jesus done for us. And we're going to try to bring them all in here and say, look, come taste what I have. I taste the Lord, and I know he's good. I'm going to go back and witness to my brothers and sisters. I'm going to go back and tell everybody. And Christ will say, I know you've been told because I helped him out and I know he had to tell somebody.
Yes.
Jesus was telling people, don't see that you don't tell nobody. See that you don't tell. They could not shut up. It's like Jeremiah. He said, I tried to sit down, but it's like fire shut up in my bones.
Yes.
You can't stay still once the Lord get hold to you. You can't just keep it to yourself. Somebody's going to know. That light's going to so shine that men will see your light and give God the glory. They will give God the glory. They're going to know Moses' face was shining so much from being with God, they couldn't behold his face. They had to put a rag over it. They had to put something over it, say, because he shines too much. He has God in him. When Peter, they said, didn't we tell you not to preach in this man's name? Peter says, I know you told us that. He said, but it's better to obey God than man. They said, you know what? This guy didn't been with Jesus. We didn't beat him and did all these things and he still won't shut up. That boldness. You don't fear what man will do to you. That man can destroy only the body. But is Jesus Christ going to destroy the soul in hell? It is Jesus Christ who you fear. Once you get the fear of God in you. See, the devil don't want you to get the fear of God. You're not going to listen to anybody else if you get the fear of God in you. Heavenly Father, help us to be clothed in your righteousness this day, Lord God. Help us to fear you, Lord God, for the fear of you is the beginning of understanding, knowledge, and wisdom, Lord God. Help us to be clothed in your righteousness, Lord God. Put that garment upon us, Lord God, that covereth all sins. Our sins shall be washed, and though they be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. It is you that is our covering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.